We remain standing in honor of our gospel lesson, which comes from Luke. If you read Diana Butler Bass's book on gratitude, you would find this passage a bit ironic. She talks about pro bono gratitude, where we're grateful without expecting anything in return. And yet you're going to hear that Jesus expects something in return. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But where are the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our children are dismissed to continue their time of worship. We live with a lot of energy. So this morning, I want to talk with you about distance. I want to talk with you about the way that distance affects us. Even as you see me moving from the pulpit, you might begin to feel uncomfortable. For much of our lives could be a story about distance and the distance we keep between one another. You could narrate your whole life just telling us places that you have been and what that means to you. Many of you know I grew up in this congregation, so I could even tell you the story of my life based on pews. I could tell you that I usually sat with my dad right around here. Sometimes, though, if my dad was a deacon and my mom was in the choir, who is actually, she's right there still, I would sit right here with Hazel Wheeler, and she had tons of mints that she would give us. But then I got older, and when you get older, you move farther away. And so I would sit further back here and ultimately all the way to the back pew when I was a teenager, because the older you get, the farther from home you go, right? And then when I returned, I ended up coming to sit up here or sit up here or all the way here to the pulpit where I'm going to go now. We could tell our lives in the story of the distance that we keep. Much of my life has been here in Louisville, other than going to college in North Carolina, but there was a 1 year that Drew and I and the kids went to Durham, North Carolina, for Drew's training, and we knew we were returning back. It was for only 1 year, but I found that profound truth that often distance of miles becomes more than just the miles between us. Distance is something that we can feel. Distance is something that we feel. There was a time in your life, likely, that when you packed up your belongings and you moved away from home, whether by choice or by force. And there was probably a time in your life when you felt the distance from home. And when we look at the text in Jeremiah and the people in exile, and we see how they internalized distance and they needed to hear the word that they needed to actually live their lives where they were, I know that then distance keeping is an ancient issue. So I venture to say that you know what I'm talking about with distance. In our own lives, the question is, when have you felt far away? Sometimes in our lives, it's actually not the distance of miles between us, but it's the distance we feel between us that is most powerful. For there are times when we are with another person, a friend, a family member, a romantic relationship, or even with ourselves, where we're physically close, but there's an invisible gulf stretching between us. Those are the loneliest moments, right? When you are with someone, but you feel so far away. Distance keeping can feel like the only safe option sometimes. Perhaps this is even what it means to be an adult, is to learn how to keep your distance from others. Bojangles shared an article on Friday on National Coming Out Day that I hope many of you read that challenges the notion of thinking about what it means to come out and the distance between us. He writes, "As a gay man born and raised in the South, I know that hiding one's identity for fear of condemnation and even death is a real concern for many in our community. The risk of social and familial alienation is real. The risk of loss of employment or housing is real. The risk of physical violence and even death are real. These consequences of owning our truth and living fully into it are often too great to overcome for some. They remain in the closet, not as some cop-out to being true to themselves, but rather as a crucial way to survive in a culture and world that is still largely homophobic." There are times in our life, keeping distance is just what we've got to do in order to stay sane, to stay safe. But as we grow up and we move and we expand our circles, we run into the greater risk of what it means to come close up with other people who are new. Even as there are times that keeping the distance is the right choice. I say all of that to say is that we all have been lepers. We read the gospel text, and you may not identify with lepers as you have never had leprosy, but I know that we have all suffered the desire to pull away from other people or to even feel the need to pull away from people. And we can identify with these 10 lepers who cry out for help from Jesus, but they keep their distance. It's easier to cry out for help and then still stay a distance away from someone who could help us, lest they hurt us or we even hurt them. Getting close to other people requires vulnerability, and many of us, when we feel vulnerable, we just retreat even further away. Keeping distance is not just the experience of lepers. We cope by keeping distance. It is an ancient human practice. For does not Scripture, the whole story of Scripture, begin right at the beginning with Adam and Eve keeping distance from God and distance with one another? We fear God. We fear one another. We fear ourselves. And so we keep distance, even when the thing we want most is companionship. Ironically, we think this is a modern problem. Ha! We blame technology and social media for all the ways they separate us. But remember, technology did not invent the fact that we want to keep our distance from one another. Distance keeping is our original sin. We like the order of what distance give to us. You know what is predictable. I'm going to stand here. You're going to sit there. You can sit back as far as you want. And whatever I say up here is just going to hang in the space between us. And you get to choose whether it sinks in or whether you reject it. If you've ever listened to a sermon in headphones, actually outside of a worship space, sometimes I find that's even more close because it's right here. And it sinks in deeper than if it is here we are keeping our space and distance from one another. When the lepers cry out, Jesus directs them to the priests to receive their healing, and they get their healing while they go, it says. 9 out of 10 lepers would agree this healing is enough miracle for them. Being healed of leprosy is enough for them. It is sufficient salvation to live without physical pain, and so they go on, and we hear nothing from them. If you've ever been in serious physical pain, you know that the first priority is your physical pain. It's hard to think of anything else outside of that. But then the story gets focused on this one leper who sees that he is healed. And the truth of the miracle sinks in, and he feels the healing. And now that the demands that pain exerted upon his mind and his body have cleared, there emerges another kind of desire within him. The absence of physical pain reveals a yearning that sends him running right back to where he was when he asked for help. Disregarding cultural customs and appropriate boundaries, he returns to Jesus and falls face down before his feet, prostrating himself in a grand gesture that must have startled everyone. What does this one leper know that the other 9 do not know? I think he knows this truth, that I must first address the isolation I feel with God before I can address the isolation I've experienced with anyone else. Jesus asks, where are the others? Is it only the foreigner who has returned? 9 out of 10 lepers agreed. The absence of physical pain is all that we need and all that we ask for. We cannot assume that these 9 did not feel gratitude. We can't even assume they didn't even say thank you. They probably said thank you to the priests, right? Jesus sent them to the priests. They said thank you to the priests. They may have even told lots of people about it, but the gospel is not satisfied with that response. Jesus sees and names their absence with him. And Luke wants us to know that Jesus longed for the return of them to celebrate maybe their recovery and send them forth. The lepers got what they wanted out of Jesus, the absence of physical distress. But this one leper wants more. Not just healing, but a relationship with the one who healed him. He wanted presence and not just absence. He needed to experience and maybe even relearn how to be in the presence of God after all these years of keeping distance. This foreign leper knows what it means to live far from home and to be alone. He knows the way that the distance shifted from physical miles into internal layers of isolation within himself. And so now, in the presence of Jesus, this healed leper pours forth a generosity of praise and gratitude. In the presence of Jesus, this healed leper pours forth a generosity of his own presence with God. And he has to know, after a lifetime of keeping his distance, that coming close to Jesus is putting himself at risk. For all that he knows, Jesus might ask something else from him. Jesus might want a favor back for what Jesus has done. But instead, Jesus celebrates the return and sends him on his way. Jesus names this posture as faith, a willingness to be at the mercy of God, knowing that vulnerability before God, being close, far exceeds a life lived at a distance, even if you're physically well. In the presence of Jesus, love in the flesh, everything else can now begin for him. What if the greatest gift that God offers us in Jesus is healing first, sure, but also relationship and presence? What if salvation is the freedom from isolation? What if our path forward into a free future can only come when we first address the distance we feel between ourselves and God? In Jesus, we have God who comes close. And faith becomes the journey of closing the distance between ourselves and God. In so doing, we are made whole, and then we are able to see one another and to love one another. 9 out of 10 of us would agree that's only the absence of trouble that we seek. But let's look to this foreign leper to lead us, for he knows there's more to fear than leprosy. For he knows that the greatest thing to fear is the distance we keep when the Holy One comes close to us. And so today, even now, as we sing our final hymn, let us return to God a generosity of presence, trusting that Jesus will send us forth, freed from isolation and ready for our own lives to begin. May it be so. Amen.